Welcome to Whack Brackets, the podcast that has enough listeners to fill an entire 1979 Pontiac Le Mans. I'm your host, Mike, and we are going to bracket off 90s toys today. And to do so, I had to reach out to a guy who is an expert in this, but he's also an expert in mustaches, particularly involving movies. He is the god of the goatee. He's the pharaoh of the Fu Manchu, and he is the Hammurabi of the handlebar. Please welcome back to the show for the third time, Daniel from the Mustachioed Podcastio. How are you today, Daniel?
Hey, what is up, Mike? How's it going, man?
It's been a day. It's been a day. We'll say that. I won't bore the listeners, but I put you on hold for a nice hour or so, and I apologize for that. But
that is fine. Shook off. Had given me time to shake off this hangover. I'm very appreciative that you allowed me to come back onto the show. I had so much fun last time, and this time it's on a topic that I'm pretty familiar with, being a 90s kid and all.
Yeah, I'm more of a 70s, 80s kid. I've got a few more miles on the tires than you, but that being said, I'm at least vaguely familiar with some of these. I had nieces and nephews that played with some of this shit, so hopefully I won't do too much damage. And also, I was just an immature little fuck. So I think that was the thing back when I was a kid. There wasn't as much cool shit to do, so you ended up playing with toys longer than kids today. Kids today, they're done with it by like 7 or 8. I was playing like G.I. Joe were bullshit into my teens, making them do like suplexes on each other and shit.
I was going to ask, like, how different, you know, do you feel like toys were in the 90s compared to the toys you were playing with growing up? I feel like maybe your toys were a little more dangerous.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We had lawn darts and shit. So,
oh my God.
And there's actually one guy on this toy list, and I'll bring him up shortly, but he was around when I was a kid as well, but they kind of changed him. They made him look a little more, I don't know, sissified. When I had him, he was a tougher looking hombre. Nowadays, he's just got the wavy hair, the plastic wavy hair. But you know,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I think, you know, late 80s, 90s kids, we were just surrounded by plastic. That was when, like, the plastics industry just exploded. There was no more, like, metal or aluminum used in toys. Like, they are tin, you know. Yeah. I remember inheriting my older brother, who's, like, 11 years older than me. I inherited his lunchbox, which was a Pac-Man lunchbox.
Yes.
And was really dope for its time. You know, it was painted, hand-painted, uh-huh. And looked super cool. But unfortunately, inheriting it as a 90s kid, I looked like the poorest kid in school because I had this, like, little rusty-ass tin Pac-Man. And it wouldn't even close anymore. So, like, two times my sandwich fell outside and everyone laughed at
Bomber.
Me. Yeah. Kindergartner all freaking getting made fun of and shit.
Poor-ass Daniel in his Pac-Man lunchbox. He can't even hold his damn sandwich.
Yep. Now y'all know why I'm so angry inside. Been building up over the years.
That's right. For those that don't know, Daniel is also an ex-singer. You might still sing a little bit, but
if it came up, if the opportunity showed itself.
Yeah, he's been known to sound very threatening in his vocal stylings. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, a little bit of hardcore, metalcore, punk rock style vocals. So I started doing that when I was 14 years old. It feels crazy. Like, I still remember singing in my friend's garage and just sweating in the San Antonio summer heat, you know, good days.
So do you have anything out on Spotify? Not that this is your primary goal. His primary thing is the podcast right now. But if you got something on Spotify, pimp it.
Yeah, I do. I don't have anything on Spotify, but we do have some demo stuff on Bandcamp, which is a really, really cool app. It's a really great way to find some, like, up-and-coming bands. I use it all the time to find other groups. But, yeah, you ever search Drown the Fear, not Down the Beers, Drown the Fear. And, of course, you can tell we created this band name, like, in 2006, sure. when all the metalcore bands had, like, 8 words in their name title and shit, and their song titles were 20 words. So,
Well, I tell you what, the other night in what is going to be his second appearance on our election episode, which is actually going to drop November 2nd late at night, but he was talking about Down the Beers. We downed a few on the election special, particularly with the boys from Hot Takes and Cold Beers. I had to throw out everybody else on the podcast now, because if I don't, I'm going to look like an asshole. But we also had the Trashy Trashy podcast on there. We had Hot Flashes and Cool Topics on there as well. And then the Mustachio Podcastio.
Loved it. It was so much fun. I showed up fashionably late. I got a little confused with the time zone stuff. I guess I'm still like a rookie in this podcast world. You know, I'm like missing time slots and shit. But you know what? I still had a really good time. I'm glad that you kind of allowed me to partake and even sort of, you caught me up and you let me kind of put in my opinions of the questions I missed. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I try to be polite.
I didn't do all that research. Not,
yeah, all that research.
I didn't do all that research for nothing. Hey, I didn't know most of that off the top of my head. I'm just really good at like spitting out words that I've written down.
Yeah, now I hear you, because I actually did very little research on the actual presidents. For those that don't know, we bracketed off 16 ex-presidents, whack bracket style. Yeah. And sadly, I only did like a marginal bit of research on like one or two. And then my sister-in-law, Bridget, who is an expert at presidents and fees from Hot Takes Cold Beer, they came in and were like reading off volumes of information. I was like, shit. All right. I just sound like a fucktard over here. That's fine. Whatever. It's only my podcast. Shit.
It adds to the fun. You don't want to, you know, you don't want a bunch of know-it-alls on a show. You don't want a bunch of people that say this on a daily basis. Well, actually, you know, you don't want that.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about James Polk.
One or two in fact. But, you know, you worked in our dumbasses, and we really mixed it up, you know?
That's right. We kept the show light on its toes.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And also in the bag by the end. But with that said, why don't you tell people what you do over at the Mustachioed Podcast? And I'm actually going to join you here for an episode after this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tell them what you do, and then we'll get on to whack bracketing.
And this is actually the first time I've ever done that. I've never like recorded on somebody's podcast and then had my podcast right after. This is a first time for me. I'm very excited about today. Yeah, so the Mustachioed Podcast, it's basically self-explanatory in the sense that I cover movies, also TV shows, and maybe even in the future I might cover some other mustachioed type forms of media. But for right now, a lot of it is movies and TV shows, and we honor just mustachioed legendary actors. And not just guys that sport it because it happens to be about cowboys. They sport this mustache at least for some time in their actual life. So it's a really, really fun show, and I can't wait to have you on it, Mike. I think it's going to be a good time. I can't wait for people to check that one out. So that one will be coming up very soon, y'all. So just stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and this episode, sadly, will probably drop after your episode, or I would promote your episode, but I'm still going to promote it. I'm going to be doing Shoot 'Em Up with the Mustachio Podcastio. Thankfully, we did have Paul Giamatti in this movie, which made it doable. Otherwise, there's not a lot of mustaches in this movie. But
yeah, like all the bad guys are just like, clean-shaven weirdos. Yeah. So
clean-shaven weirdos. Like me right now.
Fuck you right now.
Yeah, I sent Daniel a picture of my Larry Bird mustache last night with the Shinerbach.
I absolutely loved it.
So yeah, I'm not one who grows facial hair well, we'll put it that way. Regardless of that, I will go ahead and tell people what the Whack Brackets podcast is if they aren't aware yet. Yeah. Whack Brackets is asking the burning questions you never knew you wanted answered until we asked them. We bring on fellow podcasters and friends of the show, such as Daniel here, to bracket off similar contestants using irrelevant, ever-changing questions. So again, this episode we are going to bracket off 90s kids toys. So if Daniel's ready to go, we'll get started.
Hell yeah. I'm ready. I can't wait.
All right. Well, this one actually brings up the toy that we were talking about a few minutes ago. And the question is going to be, better weapon in a bar fight, would it be Stretch Armstrong or would it be a Super Soaker? And I'll let you start out.
Well, my first impression was initially you could put some sort of like acid or something in a Super Soaker, and I feel like it would be, you know, you could weaponize a Super Soaker. Other than that, you know, they are pretty powerful. If you were to get somebody right in the face, you might be able to distract them and kind of make them need to hit the water off their face or wipe it off their face, and then you can just deck them in the face or something like that. So it's good if you're trying to get people from a distance. Mm-hmm. But I really feel a good bar fight, it's about that kind of one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat. That's what a good bar fight is all about. And I think a Stretch Armstrong really lends itself to that fact, because you can use it to choke somebody from, you got someone on a chokehold. You could just kind of swing it around willy-nilly, maybe get somebody in the face or hit somebody temporarily while you're going at another guy who's on the other side of you. Stuff like that, you know? So it's a little more versatile.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you 100%. It's actually similar notes written down, especially about the Super Soaker. The only way you can really use that is at a distance. In bar fights, as you mentioned, it should be fisticuffs. You should engage like a man and not a girl. So the only thing you can do with maybe a super soaker, like you said, fill it with gasoline and then flambe some motherfuckers from a distance or something.
True.
You could put maybe pepper spray in it, but of course it's going to blow back in your face.
Yeah.
There's too many variables and too hard to make this work 100%. But for my dollar, Stretch Armstrong, and I don't know because I never really played with the 90s Stretch Armstrong as much, so I'm going back to the 70s Stretch Armstrong. That motherfucker was hard as a brick.
Yeah.
And yeah, this was actually my toy of choice for beating the shit out of my asshole siblings because they would do shit, just take him, rear him back by the legs, hit him upside the fucking head with the head, knock a bitch out. I'll just put it that way. You know, his head is as hard as a cinder block. And if you take and you freeze him, his whole body turns hard. It's great.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the only problem with Stretch Armstrong, and again, I can't speak to the Stretch Armstrongs of your youth, but I do know my Stretch Armstrong. He was just filled with this purple-ass jelly, and he would pop open. And they gave you actually Band-Aids with Stretch Armstrong because they knew he was going to break. So
yeah.
So, yeah, and just kind of pathetic that so, toys were made like that.
I like the way they pretended, like, here's a first aid for your Stretch Armstrong. So you feel like it's a plaything. Well, here's what I'll tell you. I never owned a Stretch Armstrong. I never really liked getting the good guy in toys. I always liked getting the bad guys. And so I actually got the Stretch Armstrong bad guy. His name was Vac-Man. And this toy was so freaking cool and would probably be even better. If it was in here, it would be even better. What you would do is Vac-Man actually had like this weird all these little tiny little balls all inside this like rubber suit, and you would stick this little pump on the side of his head, suck the air out, which would suck all the air out and become like crackled hard like mess, and you could stretch him that way. And he was like super he was pretty deadly. Like if you were swinging that around, that shit would, and his head was made of plastic, hard plastic, so you could do some damage with Vac-Man. But I think Stretch Armstrong is a close second. I think you could definitely, and I think Super Soaker's below that for sure. So
yeah, I agree. And not only that, even if you try to use a Super Soaker as a physical weapon, it's just plastic. It's not gonna hurt. So
By the way, I still have Vac-Man in great condition. So I will send you a photo if you want to show that on the page.
I'll put him on the website.
I'll take a photo of him.
Yeah, I will put Vac-Man on the advertisement for this episode when we release it. So make sure that when you hold him up, you have to hold up a Shiner Bock beer too.
All right.
All right. So Stretch Armstrong goes unanimously to the second round against the winner. It's the winner of this whack brackets question. The second question is similar to the first. It's just that I can't read very well. Mike is not well educated. So with that said, this is going to be Pogs versus Bop It. And which one of these is more likely to lead to a fist fight?
What is your opinion, my friend?
Did you
play with any of these at all?
You know what?
A little bit.
Pogs I've seen before.
Yeah.
Bop It's I was an adult when I did it, so I'm going to speak from an adult standpoint. This is possibly the most frustrating thing you can pull out in a room full of drunk people because it looks easy on the surface. And you're like, oh, all you do is follow the fucking instructions. And then you're like three or four in, and for some reason you start getting this anxiety. And you're trying to play, and it's like, then you fucking do the wrong thing. You're like, it's not that hard. And then you give it to some guy who probably the kid that ate glue in kindergarten. He's got some weird savant-like quality, and he just sits here and like bops it for 20 minutes. And you're like, what in the fuck is going on? Am I this stupid? And then you just get this angst, and you're upset because you feel stupid. And then that one time, you know, the record's 50 or whatever, and you're in the 30s, you're in the 40s, and then you fuck it up. And then that kid's over there going, oh, give me the bop it again. You're like, yeah. To me, I think that's going to cause me the most stress. Now, that being said, Pogs, on the other hand, again, I didn't play Pogs. I can see why Pogs would cause distress because it sounds like it's a very, if you play for keeps, that would definitely cause you, if hopefully, and you'll be able to answer this better than me, hopefully if you had Pogs you like, you didn't bring them to the game where you could lose your Pogs.
Bro, I'm a Southsider from San Antonio. We brought our Pogs to the game and we played for keeps, baby.
Okay.
It was no joke. It was taken very serious for about, I want to say y'all, for about 2 years, Pogs were absolutely. And I think, you know, some people may know this, but these things, you could not turn without seeing some Pog machine or some Pog merchandise somewhere. Collecting the slammers was like an awesome thing to do. I remember I had like we call them Chinese stars, but that might not be the correct way to say it. You know, like a fighting star, which was really dope. And it was made of actual metal. So it was a really cool slammer. Yep. And yeah, I lost a lot of my favorite Pogs and almost lost a lot of friendships. It's like the poker for kids. Like sometimes you lose your shit, you know, and sometimes you feel like either guys are cheating or they didn't offer up their best Pogs for the game because they didn't want to lose their best Pogs. Oh. And you're like, dude, I know you have that, like, it was always like a skull one or the one with the werewolf on it. It's like, dude, I wanted that one, bro. You didn't bring it out because you knew you were going to lose. You're a bitch, you know? And the next thing you know, you're fighting each other, you know? So
I could see that's being upsetting,
Yeah, and you're like, you know, we were, what, fourth grade, fifth grade. So, yeah, there was definitely some strain. But then eventually you just accept it, you know, like, hey, I lost. I got to get over this. Now, Bop It, that one I only know through advertisements. And I actually, there's a YouTube comedy guy who does a bit on Bop It. And it's just him getting super pissed off at trying to, like, you know, get a high level on it. It was just not a toy I was interested in. It's kind of like a take on Simon Says in a way, except you're actually doing physical things. And I was like, Simon Says already pisses me off. I don't know what Bop is gonna do. So to me, Bop It would probably piss me off more at the toy itself, and I probably would break it.
Right.
I think I would throw it and I would destroy it. So I don't know. I have to go Pogs, but I can see your point as well with Bop It. So I can kind of see that. Especially if some kid's good at it that you don't like, and like you said, he's the kid that eats glue and for some reason he's great at Bop It. Kind of frustrating. I could see that.
Yeah, so we have a split decision here, which is okay because we can do that. that's by the rules. I'm good with that. But yeah, I'm still gonna stick with Bop It simply because that's that asshole kid. It's like the kid that could always solve the Rubik's Cube. There was always some weird kid that had no skill and he figured out how to solve a Rubik's Cube before they had the books to solve them, at least because I was around when Rubik's Cubes came out. And I was like, how the fuck did this kid learn how to do that? And it really is, though, all it is like a series of once you learn the pattern, just do the pattern. It's not intellectual. I was approaching it as an intellectual battle. And this kid is a kid that just like sees the patterns. He's like, oh, watch this.
Yeah. He like Rain Man'd it. Yeah. I will tell you, I'm going to let you go Bop It, but I will tell you, any of your listeners that actually played Pogs agrees with me. That's all I'll say. But let's go with Bop It.
As the guest, you get to decide.
Let's go with Bop It. Let's go with Bop It. I think it's going to be a little more fun to mix it up with Bop It throughout this. So, yeah, I want to see what happens.
Okay. So Bop It goes on to the next round.
Bop It, baby.
I'm not sure why you said that, but it made my day. So with that said, we have two more questions to go in this first round.
All right.
And this question is a disturbing one.
Depends on what you like,
I guess. It's a freak flag fly. We have a Tickle Me Elmo or Gak, and which one could be better used for a sex toy?
Yeah. I think a lot of people's heads immediately went to Gak. You know, I definitely owned a few Gak colors. Loved me some Gak, you know. The first time you got it, you were like, hey, look, I can't wait to do all the stuff they did on the commercial. But then you use it once and it's covered by sand, dirt, and shit within like 2 minutes and renders itself useless. And then your parents get mad because you got it in the carpet and then they never buy a Gak again. But I can imagine people thinking of Gak just because it's obviously a squishy, slimery thing. Mm-hmm. But I got to go Tickle Me Elmo with this one. I'm thinking it's a Tickle Me Elmo that probably talks and stuff.
He says a few phrases,
A few phrases. The only reason I say this is I remember listening to this radio show one time. I used to drive, you know, I still have a long drive to work, but right now I've been working from home, so it's been pretty dope. But I remember one time listening to this radio show. I think it was the Jason Ellis show on Sirius XM. I'm not sure. He might still have his show, but I don't really listen to Sirius XM anymore. But they were going through people's stories as like the weird stuff that they've had sex with. People like actually called in or sent in emails about this weird stuff. Like one guy actually was really, really horny one night. And I guess he lived like off the shore, like off a beach house or something. And he was out and it was kind of getting dark and he was like looking around and nobody was around. So he decided to stick his hard penis into the sand, the wet sand. And he actually got granules of sand inside his pee hole. And it burns for a long, long time.
I bet.
So this guy, you know, when you've said to yourself, you know what? Fuck the world. This guy did it.
Yeah, literally. Yes.
Anyway. That's hilarious. So One of the other stories was this guy got caught by his mom. This toy that he got as a kid was a Scooby-Doo doll. And it said a couple of phrases. And what he did was when he got older and was a teenager, he was kind of looking around like, is there's got to be something I can get off to? So he got his Scooby-Doo doll from his closet, ripped out the battery pack. You know, there's always that little hard plastic in there. He ripped it out and then would just squeeze in like lotion and lube in there and would just like fuck it in that whole pack. That's, you know, where the batteries would go.
Oh, no.
I would do that with the Elmo. I think it would probably be about the same effect. You get like, you got the cushiness of the whatever stuffing. You have the lube or lotion that's in there. It's about as close as you can get. You're not going to hurt yourself as long as you take that battery pack out on any kind of wiring or hard plastics. I think the gack, you might get some gack in there. It's hard to get off. It's a messy thing. You wouldn't be able to get enough. Like if you try to just kind of do it like in its little weird plastic case that looks like a splat, there's nothing there. Like you just barely get a little in. And I think it's funny because you can see me and I'm just like, I go tickle me up.
I totally wish this was an episode that we had for video. Because, you're bringing it today, I'll say that.
Yeah.
So with that said, fortunately, I have a lot of experience sexually with both of these toys, actually. But I did come up with some theories about how these might be used. And one of them particularly was involving GAC. Now, if you don't have any lube, GAC brings its own lube practically. So that's kind of nice. It's going to make that sock a lot more enjoyable, but it's going to be hard to clean not only the sock dust, but also if you go to completion, you're never getting that shit out of that GAC.
That's true, yeah.
That's a throwaway situation. So
one and done.
Yeah, GAC is definitely a one and done sex toy, depending on how good it is. Tickle Me Elmo. The thing about Elmo here is I was actually thinking more from a female perspective because obviously he gets excited. He starts vibrating.
Oh.
You know, you could use him in actually coordination with a second sex toy. And then if you really want to bring your A game, remove the battery pack, hook this thing up to your car battery, and you're getting full throttle.
Oh.
Like a Throttle Me Elmo.
Ooh, Throttle Me Elmo. Did you start with Throttle Me Elmo and then just kind of worked all the stuff?
No, I actually came up. That one, I don't actually have Throttle Me Elmo in my notes. That one was off the cuff. So
I like that.
That might be the name of this episode, Throttle Me Elmo.
If that's not already a movie on your adult side of choice, it needs to be.
With that said, I think I'm going to be in 100% agreement with you that good old Elmo, he might be replacing the little jackrabbit vibrators for women once they hear this episode. So turn on all your female friends this episode and have them woke by what you can do with an Elmo doll.
So many people are going to be hearing in their apartment buildings these little Elmos. You're real funny.
Tickle me or whatever the fuck he says. I think, let me see, I've got it up. It says, that tickles and oh boy.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
So, yeah, I think we're going to be in agreement that Tickle / Throttle Me Elmo is going to advance to the next round against the winner of this question here.
All right.
More difficult to explain to your aging grandparents.
Jeez.
Is it the Street Sharks or is it the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Why don't you take this one? I'm torn between this one. I couldn't decide, so I want to see what you're thinking and then maybe bounce off some ideas.
All right, here's what I'm thinking. The thing is with the Street Sharks, if I recall, and I could have this backstory a little butchered, but they had some kind of accident where they used to be just teenagers, and then they turned into, like, teenage sharks or some shit. Is that true?
Sort of. It's like a... I watched the cartoon, and I actually did own a Street Shark as a kid. I owned the Hammerhead one. And you would press a little button on the back, and his head would, like, kind of go forward. It was pretty dope. Yeah. I actually really liked the Street Sharks.
Good for a sex toy as well.
Probably. I mean, it's the Hammerhead. I don't know. But an experienced person, maybe. But, yeah, so it was weird. It was like two scientists were working on some type of secret experimental project where they were taking ocean life and finding a way to use their DNA to help humans transform into like super beings. And it's two doctors. One doctor is a good guy. The other one is kind of like a mad scientist. And the mad scientist guy gets pissed off because the other doctor is wanting him to shut down this thing entirely. So the mad scientist gets the dude's four kids, the other scientist's four kids, and does the experiment on them. and turns them into street sharks.
Oh.
And the scientists, I don't know, the one that their dad, I guess, is missing or something. Maybe that's the whole purpose of the show. They're trying to find him. I could be butchering this, but this is what I remember. And so to fight the sharks, it's like so stupid. He made the street sharks and then he's like, oh, crap, like they're going to destroy me. So then he turns himself into a monster and he becomes like a piranha slash human thing. And he has like big old teeth. He looks pretty dope in the commercial. In the 90s commercial, the head spins and he's like this piranha thing. So yeah, and that's the whole thing with street sharks. Yeah, so.
So that being said, still, they started out as humans though.
Yeah.
So at least I could see, I think it's easier to explain to a grandparent about a mutation. Look, they mutated into sharks who can still run around above ground, which I know is illogical, but at least they mutated. So they're kind of half and half. How the hell do turtles, how are you going to explain that? Okay, grandma, pay attention to this, okay? There were some turtles, and they're just, I think, just average-ass turtles, and then radioactivity or something turns them into full-ass-grown adult-sized men, or at least teenage-sized boys. And then not only that, okay, what do? Well, they're just turtles, right? They don't have any skills. Well, wait a minute. They do. They're actually ninjas. How do turtles learn ninjutsu? Well, here's the thing. There's a rat that takes the turtles under his tutelage and teaches them ninjutsu. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. Why? and then to boot, how many turtles do you know that actually like pizza? It's like all of a sudden they just turn into, oh, okay, now I like pizza.
They're New Yorkers,
to me, there's just too many.
By the way, there's a, you said, what did you say? You said, did you say regular ass turtle or basic turtle or something like that?
I think so.
There's definitely like some turtle that's like a pet of one of your listeners. He's like, what did that guy just say? I'm just some regular turtle. I know mathematics.
Fuck that gringo.
But yeah, no, you're right. The lore of, I think that's where Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has sort of a good lead on this question, is the fact that it's such a deeper lore. First of all, it's a graphic novel. It was a graphic novel first. Mm-hmm. That has its own story. Then you got the cartoon, who has its own story as well and doesn't quite follow beat for beat. The turtles even look different. And yeah, and then it really all comes down to, and it's funny because in a lot of movies, it's like, well, it's the future. That's always your thing. Well, with the Ninja Turtles, it's the ooze. It's like this magic ooze. But even with that explanation, bringing in Casey Jones, bringing in, you know, that weird scientist that becomes a fly. I don't remember a whole, you bring in Bebop and Rocksteady. Like, it gets a little crazy. So when you're getting all those toys from your grandparents, they're like, what? What is all this? The street sharks, it's like all they released were the four sharks. They released a couple of extra side characters. Some of them were supposed to be bad guys but became good. Some were just bad guys. It's like a handful of toys, you know, and you could honestly probably buy those now on eBay and have a full collection right away. You try doing that with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you're going to spend like thousands of dollars. And explaining all of that and all that lore, yeah, I think you're going the direction I'm thinking. You know, it gets a little complicated.
Yeah, as well as street sharks were technically a derivative of Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
As were Battletoads, as were a majority of these ripoffs.
Yeah, they're definitely out there. You had Biker Mice from Mars. That was a really good one.
Really?
Yeah, that was a really fun one. I don't think they turned into them, but they were like another animal that was personified as humans, kind of. But Biker Mice from Mars is actually really fun. I think they even released a really good video game for it, if I'm right. But yeah, you know, there's, I grew up in a time where you had the Ninja Turtles get popular. And then as a kid, you were it was like a bunch of old rich guys constantly pitching you new ideas for shit that you might like. Oh, you like those turtles? Well, we got you some sharks here. They have kind of the same stuff. They're rad. They say attitude and they say, you know, cool words. Like, they don't say Calabunga, that's trademarked, but they do say other words. So it was a little crazy back then. It was very confusing.
Yeah, I think one of the better shows I've heard, and this one may be a little before your time or a little after your time. I'm not sure. I think maybe a little after your time, is there was a cartoon called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Oh, I don't remember.
Do you recall that at all?
No, I was born in 85, so I caught like a... I was so little, I missed a lot of that early, the late 80s stuff. But when did that come out?
Yeah, This one was actually brought to my attention by the cartoon Dumpster Dive. Oh, it was like 1987 to 1996 was the comic book. Let's see if it says when it came out on TV.
You know what? It is starting to ring.
From 93.
Yeah, it is ringing a bell. I just never saw it, but that is ringing a bell. I don't know how I wouldn't remember a title like that, but I remember it bringing.
Yeah, it's a great title.
Yeah, it was brought up a few years ago. A friend of mine mentioned that was a cartoon they would watch. It's like, what? It's a weird time.
But yeah, go check out that episode of Cartoon Dumpster Dive where they talk about Cadillacs and dinosaurs, because I listened to that whole thing. I was like, it's just about Cadillacs and dinosaurs. It's like only 13 episodes, but
the American
funny
way.
Shit, man. Yeah, the American way. Come up with the dumbest shit, put it in a cartoon, and sell it to kids. Yeah,
well, then you got all the Power Ranger knockoffs, too, at that same time period. So it was just a muck of crazy copycat shows constantly coming at you, you know. But there were some good ones in there. VR Troopers was kind of fun. But yeah, I go Ninja Turtles with this one for sure.
All right, so I think we've got a clean sweep with the Ninja Turtles. So to recap the first round, better weapon in a bar fight, we picked Stretch Armstrong over the Super Soaker. More likely to lead to a fist fight, we chose Bop It over Pogs. Better use for a sex toy, old Throttle Me Elmo over the GAC. And then finally, more difficult to explain to your grandparents, especially if they were aging, we took Ninja Turtles over Street Sharks.
Heroes in a half shell.
Oh. Don't they even say turtle power? Turtle power.
Yeah, you're supposed to say that part.
See, I don't know.
I'm kidding.
I'll say it next time.
Okay.
I don't have all the cartoon quotes down. I'm only like 10 or 12 years older than you. It'd be kind of pathetic if I did.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird.
So that said, round two, we have Stretch Armstrong versus Bop It.
Oh, shit.
Which one of these two toys is a more German-fested buy from the Goodwill?
Did you want me to take this on first?
Yeah, please do.
All right. Most German. And like I said, I'm not sure if I said this before we started recording, but we almost added Mighty Max to this tournament. And we ended up not adding that toy. But if I ever find any of those, I loved them as a kid. So if I ever see them at a Goodwill or at some thrift shop, I always get them. And I've actually been able to get a complete set. And for those of y'all that know Mighty Max, it's really hard for that to happen because the parts are so many. They're so tiny. I actually once found a compact, like a little battle scene, and Mighty Max was missing. And I was like, but it was in this box of just random stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just started digging and digging and digging. And he was at the very corner bottom of that box. But I found that son of a bitch. Anyway.
Nice.
So I got to go Bop It. Because you're like twisting stuff. Stretch Armstrong, mm-hmm. he's made out of rubber. Right? Isn't he like rubber exterior or some kind of?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he'd
plastic and rubber-ish.
Kind of wipe them down with a Kleenex wipe pretty easily. He got a lot of crevices. Crevices is what creates that sticky, bacteria-filled goop that tends to collect in these kind of toys. You know the kind of toy where you grab it?
Unless they use Sex Armstrong for other things.
That's true. Stretch Armstrong, yeah, Sex Stretch Armstrong, it's a little bit different. But I feel like Bop It, that's one of those toys you grab at the Goodwill with gloves because it's just going to be immediately kind of like the floor of an old movie theater. I would totally go Bop It.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go Bop It as well here because, like you said, you're moving it, you're the crevices. I actually have that same thing written down here, 100% agree. And then anything that has batteries is always like acid. Shit, you know, the shit gets all acidy and stuff, and it's hard to wash out, and I don't know.
That's true.
I guess that's not really germs, but
have you dealt with that as a pops yourself where the old toys still had batteries in them, and then they're just like acid shit all inside?
You know what the funny thing is now, and I think this is about being a father of, I have four children between the ages of 29 and 15.
Holy hell.
Yeah, I got a whole litter over here.
This guy's a real man.
I got that strong sperm. I don't need me to throttle me Elmo.
He got
I
that
throttle
power.
My wife.
He got that powerful urethra.
Strong. Double sperm coming through. So
congratulations on that, by the way. Oh, that is an amazing achievement, sir. I'm going to just go ahead and the fact that you have that many, I think it's okay. I don't have any. Okay.
Yeah.
You had them for me.
Well, two of them came inherited, so I had to.
Oh, cool. Yeah, see? So you still got two more to make up for the two that I'm never going to have.
I think I'm good.
Okay, so. No problem.
Yeah, with all that said, with the batteries, no, I really haven't run into that too much with my younger kids, especially because they're mainly on their phones and shit. So toys today, I think, I'm not sure if that was in the episode or before the episode, we talked about playing with toys too long. Yeah. When I was a kid, I know I played with toys longer than kids do nowadays, but there was nothing else to fucking do. Yeah. Now there's so much other distractions. Back in my day, we had television, but it was on a schedule. There were only like three or four stations. You got shit reception. You had to wait for your cartoons. Now everything's on demand. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think kids have that need to play with toys anymore because they've always got something cooler to do.
Well, back in your day, that was what? Radio.
Right? That's right. That's right.
I'm kidding.
We actually didn't even have a radio. What we had was we had that that movie theater where they just had played a little music in the background and the guys would like rescue people from the tracks.
Yeah, like an old Nickelodeon player. You put 5 cents in, you just look in, and you'd have to rotate it to keep the film moving. That's awesome. Exactly. But so, no, you're right. Like, I think even for my time as well, I played with toys, but most of my time was outdoors. I mostly just went outside, yeah. And I really liked toys that you could take outside.
Yes,
that was
yes.
the best combination. You know.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you the one that I used to love and. This is a 70s toy. You'll have to look this up. Have you ever heard of Evel Knievel?
Oh, yeah. No, I love Evel Knievel.
Okay, yeah.
I remember I had the older brother, too. So.
Oh, that's right. He had this little motorcycle, and you put it in this ramp, and it had a winder. So you put it on the ground, and you start revving it up. And then you get him going, and he'll go fast. But the problem is you do that winder, you're doing it real fast, and then like you're on the concrete, you scrape your knuckle on the concrete. It's like, and then he goes off to the side. You're sitting there with bloody knuckles because you tried to rev up Stretch Armstrong, or not Stretch Armstrong, tried to rev up Evel Knievel too much.
Yeah, you had to bleed for fun back then. I remember playing with like the little cap guns and the gun broke. And so my cousin started slamming it with his foot and his sock caught on fire. That was a good
what?
Time. Yeah, his sock caught on fire. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I didn't even know that could happen with a pop cap.
No.
But yeah. I was like, damn, that's like some real gunpowder in that thing.
Shit.
Oh, the good old days.
Differently. Oh, the good old days. Yeah. But long story short is I think we're going to go with Bobbitt here because, as you said, unless we turn him into old Sex Armstrong, you just wipe him down.
Bobbitt baby. Here we go.
You can always even replace the old Band-Aids. So, yeah, I think
that's true.
Yeah, Bop It goes on to the next round against the winner of this whack bracket question. We have the Ninja Turtles versus Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, God.
And which one of these would be a cooler buddy to you if they came to life?
You want to take this one?
Yeah, I
feel
think
like
this one's actually
easy.
Yeah, so do I, because first off, Ninja Turtles, you got pizza. They're going to hang out with you. They can protect you in a bar fight. This is going to be great. Now, they just seem like cool guys, I think, by and large. So, they got the brotherly thing going on. So I'm all about the Ninja Turtles. Whereas Tickle Me Elmo here, the thing we've determined about him is that he's probably, at least depending on if he's modified, very good at sexually pleasing women. So you're True. Going to come home. You've been out all night and he's your roommate or whatever. And then he's like screwing some girl in the back or, and he's like, I'm happy or whatever it is. And it's like, God, go to sleep. And she don't want to leave because he's doing the deed and doing it well. So we've determined. And then if he's that good at it, he's going to steal your girlfriend because eventually it's like you've heard those stories. And I've read the story. There's a guy that supposedly has like the biggest dick in the world or one of them. And literally like women will just come up to him because you could see it through his pants. And women will just come up to him out of the blue and be like, can I have sex with you? I just want to experience that. And he's like, OK, I'm sure he's probably a better person than I would be. I'd be like, well, fucking A, you know. But secondly, if you got somebody that good at throttling women, of course they're going to want to know. They're going to be like, I've got to feel this for myself. So you're going to lose girlfriends. He's probably not even going to be interested in you. He's too busy pleasing women. So I think this is Ninja Turtles all day.
All right. So I like that. I like your reasoning. I like the reasoning that he would be a roommate that is just like that guy. You know, he'd be that guy. I was thinking more, I wouldn't want Elmo to be my real life buddy. Because I don't know if you saw the new relaunch of Chucky where he's a little robot basically.
No.
So in the new Chucky, he's like a little smart robot that he syncs with all your tech in your house, and he's no longer a doll, you know, he's programmed, he's like AI basically. And he's really creepy at first, because all he wants to do is make sure that you're happy and make sure you're smiling and make sure that you're having warm feelings, and he wants hugs, and that would absolutely drive me bonkers. I cannot stand like warmth and like positivity. I don't mind. I'm all about it, but I don't like it being like shot toward me. Like, I love people being positive with each other. I'm not that bad. But when it's something like, have you ever had that really bubbly person at work who's just always 100% like, we woke up this morning and we're alive. It's a new day. That is not my thing. And that's the way Elmo would be. He'd probably have a morning song. He'd have a lunch song. He'd have like a taking a bath song. And I'd be like, Elmo, would you shut the fuck up for just 2 seconds? I'm trying to take a shit in the bathroom and you're singing the bubble bath song. You know, like, it would drive me crazy. At least the Ninja Turtles, they would probably be great wingmen. You know, if you're single, you're maybe in your 20s, you got an apartment in New York, because that's where they're at, and they put on their little trench coat detective outfits to hide as part of humans, and you go out there to the bars and talk to ladies. They skateboard. They like cool music. They know all the dope pizza joints. They have the rat guy. You know, they have Splinter, who's freaking awesome. You know, he's like kind of basically Yoda. So I think hanging out with the Turtles would be and then you can finally get to meet April O'Neil and get into that jumper, you know. So you can go with Casey Jones, check out a hockey game, get into a fight. Like, man, the fun is unstoppable with the Turtles. So Turtles all the freaking way. Elmo Byrne.
Yeah, fuck that Elmo.
Don't literally.
From Throttle Me Elmo to fuck you Elmo. We're not having you as a buddy.
Nope.
So we are going to put Bop It on against the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to our final whack bracket question. Which one of these two toys was more likely created by the Illuminati to keep American kids under control?
Bop It, baby. I think Bop It is a secret government-funded project to get children to be stationary, to listen to a machine. They knew that we would be creating these AI machines that would be telling us. So they kind of got us tricked. You know, we're constantly telling Alexa and Siri and whoever the Google chick is, we're constantly asking them for things like, take this, take that. Well, they know eventually it's going to turn around. You know, they know that the Illuminati knows it's going to turn around. And this is me speaking in the terms of, I think there's probably Illuminati in the government as well. So maybe not definitely good people in the government, but they don't know this is going on. This is all undercover conspiracy. So Bop It was created for 90s kids to get used to speaking to a machine and to listening to that machine. It's reverse Siri, right? And it's part of that. And while they're listening to Bop It and listening to those instructions, if you listen really carefully and put the audio signal into a computer and you start digging a little deeper, there is actually subliminal messaging in the Bop It telling them that you will be a slave to the robot in starting in 2025.
Shit.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that's some next level shit there.
So that's why it's Bop It.
Fair enough. I don't even want to argue against that. That was a great explanation. I want that to be true. So, yeah, I will at least try to argue a little bit against it, but I think it's going to be interesting. The thing is with the Bop It that it does do, at least, I could see this be more of a U.S. government thing than an Illuminati thing, because the thing that Bop It does is it very well trains kids to pay attention quickly and respond quickly. So it really is like preparing the next level of drone fighters and things where our fighting is going to take place virtually using weapons instead of hand-to-hand. Yeah. So they just quickly got rid of, they're like, you know what? We don't care if our kids turn out to be fat, lazy fucks. As long as they've got the eye-hand coordination and we've got the technology, we can win this war. That being said, like you said, maybe the Illuminati's in the government. Maybe. I don't know why I said maybe. So at that point, I think that, yeah, they could definitely be a part of that. They're definitely in the know. I mean, they pretty much run the entire fucking country anyway. So they're going to know this. The Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know what? I think that you could argue they were created to make kids stupid and make them fat by trying to eat more pizza. And by having them focus on trivial things and be like, hey, look, you can skateboard all day and eat pizza and hang out with sewer rats. And you know what? That's all good, because at the end of the day, you're still going to be a fighting machine. You know, think about that for a second. How do the fucking turtles keep their physique eating all that pizza?
Turtle power, dude.
I guess that's what it is. I guess. So yeah, I just think that there's like some unrealistic aspects. I think at least kids realize that it's a game. I don't think they're being realized that Bop It might be controlling them. So yeah, I had no intention of actually Bop It. I don't think even going on past the first or second round, but somehow or another, I think we're going to be in agreement. It's the way this normally works. Bop It, of all toys, is going to win this ridiculous 90s toy bracket. If that's okay with you. I'm almost embarrassed.
It's kind of a shame, but it makes sense. Everyone loves the Ninja Turtles. Everyone, you know, I don't know very many people that didn't love the Ninja Turtles when they first came around. Now that their representation in the movies isn't great, but even that is decent, I guess, if you just like flashing stuff and exciting action and stuff like that. But the back in the 90s, like, it was the best. And maybe the Illuminati would want to see more pizza and get fatter and stuff. But I feel like the Illuminati is probably more like, if anything, it'd be like a thinning out the herd type project.
Right.
You know, let's get all these kids to eat a lot of pizza and get diabetes. But that's a long game plan. I think Bop It and that subliminal angle, that might be something special there. So I do not mind Bop It winning this tournament.
All right. I'm not against you. Besides that, I was all team Turtles. But let's not forget they had that terrible movie with Vanilla Ice. And they had a ninja rat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that movie was terrible. The reason that movie wasn't as good as the first one was because they wanted to really market the toys. And so they took out, I don't know if you've seen that movie in a while, but that's the second movie. They don't use their weapons at all in that movie.
Really?
Yeah, they literally stopped using their weapons. The fighting scenes are basically Home Alone antics. Where just stuff falls on the foot and stuff like that. So it's not as action oriented, but I think it's still a good time. And that Go Ninja Go song is kind of, it's got a beat to it, man. I'm just saying, it's kind of fun.
I can't believe I brought you on here and you defended Vanilla Ice. He doesn't even have a mustache.
I defended the song. I'm not defending Vanilla Ice. The song, you know, it's got a little something to it, man. Well, I'm just thinking and I'm seeing it in nostalgic eyes. You got to remember, I experienced that at the perfect age. And so I was just like, go ninja, go ninja, go. I mean, come on, man. How can you not feel that?
You're not wrong. I'm going to agree with you. It's like I experienced Ghostbusters, I think, when I was 12, and I thought Ghostbusters was like the best fucking movie I'd ever seen in my life.
It actually is.
So it's still good. It still
holds
up.
It holds up great.
So with all that said, Bop It, somehow or another, goes on and actually wins this episode of Whack Brackets. So I would like to thank Mr. Mustachioed Podcastio. We were calling you Mr. Podcastio the other night. I'd like to thank Mr. Podcastio for being on here, drinking a Coors Light and having ridiculous conversations with
me. That's
a
Coors Banquet.
Or no, it's just a Coors Banquet. I'm sorry. To insult you.
It's okay.
Sorry to insult your manhood there. So with that said, I'm going to let you tell people how to reach out to you on any of the social media platforms and anything else you want to pimp while you're here.
Yeah, if you want to see the host of the Mustachio Podcastio, Daniel Segura, drinking himself Coors Banquet, purchasing Coors Banquet, things like that. I always also promote whatever episodes are coming up usually, so you'll know what movie's going to come up that I'm going to be reviewing, so you can maybe tune in and watch it before we talk about it. But yeah, you can find all that stuff on Instagram at Mustachioed Podcastio. That's Moustachio, because I do spell it with the O-U. And then you can also find me on Twitter at mpodcastio. I'm also on Facebook, but I haven't updated it in a while, so don't feel like you need to look that direction. But you're welcome to message me on any of those and give me any type of movie suggestions.
Yeah, only dirt bags don't spell the mustache with the U. It's like, only the cool boys do that.
Yeah.
All the cool kids. But I agree with you as far as the Facebooks go, because you can reach me on any of my social media platforms at Whack Brackets on the tweeters and the Instagrams. And I just don't fuck with Facebook, man. It's out there. You can reach out to me. But like I warn people, you probably won't get a response anytime this decade. But who knows? I might get on there.
You never know.
It's happened before.
I just also launched an email. I forgot. If you ever want to email me a movie suggestion, it's mustachiopodcastio@gmail.com. So feel free to send me any messages or anything like that. If you have a if you can't wait to see me back on Whack Brackets at some point, let me know so I can bother Mike about it.
And to pimp my email as well, is you can reach out to me at the email. You can send it to anything at whackbrackets.com. You can send it to throttlemeelmo at whackbrackets.com. You can send it to sexarmstrong at whackbrackets.com. You can send it to wherever the hell you want at whackbrackets.com. I will get it. Tell me what we fucked up in this episode. I know Bop It Winning was probably a disappointment to everybody
talk
that listened.
So if there was, I don't know if there's people that put money on these episodes. I guarantee you nobody would have picked Bop It. It's unbelievable, man.
Well, it's a good thing that we fixed this episode so we can make all that Whack Bracket betting money.
It would have to be. If I would believe, as a listener, I'd be like, they freaking fixed it, man. Like, how could Bop It win?
We are the Illuminati of podcasting. We are controlling people. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So with that said, I think we are done with this episode. So I'm going to wrap this up again. Thank you, Daniel, for being a guest on here. We had a good time.
As thank you.
Per the usual, I believe. Hopefully you agree with that, because I had a great time.
Hell yeah.
So with that said, I am out of here, and I'm going to let Daniel say goodbye, and we will see you soon.
Later.
Total power.